did one already.
I don't blame you.
They're good enough. I can make an argument.
Good afternoon and welcome, everyone. Today is Wednesday, September 20th, 2017. It is 1:34 p.m. This is the Josephine County Board of Commissioners convening for our administrative workshop. A little bit late. Department business. We have Mr. Brandis here for Public Works, a permanent road and slope easement with Larry and Harriet Harris on Waters Creek Road for access, construction, reconstruction, maintenance, and repair of the road and drainage facilities for the traveling public safety. I know the Harrises.
Four and a half hours, really? That's amazing. Wow.
All right, well, nice. We got you worn down. So
you get anything you want.
Yeah, so this is the Waters Creek project we've been talking about. Yeah, since this project, the slide happened back in the storm of January, as did everything else. And we've been looking for a solution. Initially, the thought was to build it from the creek back up, but after having some geotechnical engineers out there, they said a much cheaper and better fix would be to go into the hillside. So we had OBEC engineering firm do some design work for us, had a couple of local contractors go out, take a look at this thing, what would it take? So the whole road, unfortunately, is not surveyed. It is effectively considered a, I'm going to forget the term, prescriptive rights. So it's
where
kind
it
of up in the air.
Where
it is where it is. So we need to obtain this easement from the Harrises to basically lay it back into the hill a bit further. It's only for their section. What I should tell you is the other piece that's kind of bubbled up with this is the bigger picture that we've talked about was to potentially look at getting a FLAP grant like we did for Galise to make that whole one-lane section two. And my intent would be to follow through and apply for that this winter. The Forest Service has said it's a priority for them. We're getting some numbers on that. I suspect it'd be a $2 million project, but if the county can put in 10% and get that whole thing fixed, it's worth considering.
I have a question because there's a residence along there that is very narrow.
Yep.
There's a one-lane bridge, and then I think, or their place, then a one-lane bridge, then it goes back to two-lane again for a little ways.
Yep.
Then kind of a two-lane, modified two-lane up through to where the washout is.
Right.
Looking at their house from where they sit, if you go this way two-lane, are they going to replace the bridge on the two-lane project?
We would probably scope it both ways.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because they would like to be deleted from that two-lane section just because they own both sides of the road.
I'm sure.
It's right straight down through their place. Is there a way to say, okay, just that section, just leave it as one lane through there and then go on up?
We certainly could.
Does that jeopardize our grant?
Not necessarily. It loses some of the appeal because, you know, again, your throughput gets down to whatever that tightest section is. My thought would be that we apply for that grant this fall. The award would probably be mid to late summer next year, but I could at least then bring it back to the board to say, look, here's what we have in front of us as an option. But we've already heard from three or four of the folks up there. It kind of turned into a game of telephone as we talked with the Harrises and some others, spoke briefly about, hey, here's a potential long-term plan. Now they're all convinced that it's happening tomorrow. Well, no, it's not.
Yeah.
There's the rock project going on up there as well. These are all different things, but I would be not doing my due diligence to not come back to the board with the option of saying, it's a $2 million fix on this road. We can do it for $200,000 because we know there's another spot that's going to pop, like Waters Creek. One more turn up the road, it's going to be $120,000 again if we don't eventually start moving this road over. So I at least want that option on the table.
I think the Harrises, and you can answer this for me, the Harrises, in my thinking, is that they're okay with going back. They own the bank,
yes.
Right? The inside of the bank of that turn there. So I went out there and looked at it. I drove my pickup over it like an idiot and then looked back and decided I wouldn't even want to drive back across it.
Go really fast.
Because the road was gone, and I was just driving over this much asphalt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a good thing you don't drive a very nice truck.
Right.
But there's another way out of there. So
yeah, the Harrises are okay with this one. Everybody's okay with this project.
The ones that are on board, I think there would be, to me, that would have been the big hang-up is getting them to say we can go back into that bank.
Everybody I've talked to has been really good about what we're doing now.
Okay.
Everybody's on board with that. There are people, some of them are for the two lane, some of them are against the two lane.
Okay.
I've been out there surveying, and when I'm out there, people
but
tend
to
come
out. But the two lane is how we're going to get the grant, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
That's my question again. If I can be clear that we could still do the two lane project without doing two lane through that one residence and the bridge.
We could apply for it. I don't know what that would do to the application.
Okay.
I don't know if the Forest Service and Federal Lands would say, we're not as interested if it's two lane except for this bottleneck here.
Exactly.
I don't know that.
Yeah.
But the reality is on this one, we had a fix about 9 years ago further down towards that bridge. It was probably $120,000. This one's going to be pushing 100 when it's done. We've got another one for 120. At some point, we have to say, look, if widening the road is the only way to continue avoiding these blowouts, we need to at least look at it if the feds will pay 90% of it. But, yeah, it does not impact what we're talking about today. Getting the easement from the Harrises, everyone's on board with this fix.
Sounds good.
Okay. My hope would be for the board to sign it today only because we are going to be tight on time for the fall. And
this is a project you're trying to do this year?
Yeah. We're going to get it out to bid probably in the week. I think we'll get it probably contract signed first week of October. We should have enough time to get it done.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, the question is, I mean, if you're marching forward on this, are you going to march forward without – with leaving the one lane? I don't know how you can get that done that fast.
Yes, we have to do we got to do the one lane section. This is just for that initial slip that you drove over that's too narrow. Okay. So we're effectively, the engineer's estimate's about $70,000. It's effectively just to laying the hill right back now. Right to get that width back to fix this spot.
We're taking one lane and we're going to move it.
So we're just going to fix this one spot on this proposal here that you want us to sign. And then with the intention of applying for a grant.
Applying for the grant for the whole thing.
Our concern is it's continuing to slip and go down that hill. And if we go through another winter...
We have another winter like that, the whole road's going.
Exactly. And it's going to trap some people up the road.
So. Me. Not me, because I'm not driving.
Don't drive over again. Walk over. Pole vault. So that's where it's at.
You know where we're talking about, Commissioner Morgan?
Yep. I know not to drive up that road, too.
Go up Waters Creek.
I've been tempted to go up Waters Creek. And I even can picture what you're talking about with the one lane and the people with their garage on one side and your house on the other. So
well,
I may not
right
all
of
the way be here, but partially.
Saw what was going on. It goes from there, the next stop is a creek.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll see what we can get out of you today.
Might look back at it.
Yeah.
I'll entertain a motion to approve the public works request for a permanent road and slope easement with Larry and Harriet Harris on Waters Creek. Is that what you're looking to do?
Yes, it is.
Road for access, construction, reconstruction, maintenance, and repair of the road and drainage facilities for the traveling public safety.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? I think the timing and that we've had this discussion since last winter probably, for me, makes it an okay deal to do. We might ratify the final cost or whatever kind of contract. The decision when we award the contract for the contractor will come before the board, and that's the real big.
And I'm okay to call Bobby or whatever her name is, the lady that has the narrow spot, and tell her that this does not affect her. It's just temporary repair up the road to get the road back open.
I've spent 20 minutes, and somebody else spent 20 minutes at the front counter, and
good.
She was give her 20 more.
She was in her office today when I left to come here.
Yeah. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 3-0. Right. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Transit, RCC Amendment Number 12 Agreement for Funding and Management of Josephine County Transit System. I don't see Scott. Rob, are you pitching on this one?
I am not.
Scott. Probably could. It's just an Amendment Number 12 Agreement with the funding and management. Or do we have input from Scott that says he wants to hold off?
Yeah,
I don't think this is a real complicated issue.
Not to him
it's
today,
RCC.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at it, but without objection, we need to get it moving forward, and it's probably a consent calendar item. No big deal. We'll get with Scott and Commissioner DeYoung. We'll work on that. Human resources is item number 1C. Number one is new position for animal control officer, supervisor, and sheriff's office. So have we done any formal agreement to move it in that direction? I think what I'd like to step back and before we're hiring and creating new positions is that we kind of approve a proposal. I thought I would approve a proposal from the board. We've been working on it. We did that already.
We already approved moving it to the sheriff's office August 1st at our meeting there. And we were working out the details of how that process would go. And we've worked with the sheriff to come up with something that would work for him and within the budgets.
I just don't remember that codification of that decision. Just being, you know, I've talked to the sheriff about it, outlined, and I've talked to you, but I don't know that I've ever, as a board, said, if sheriff's on board, ACOs are on board, everybody's HR says this can work, finance is okay with the funding streams. That's the question, the conversation that I don't remember having if we did.
Arthur's the one who told us that you guys, we as a board, approved it on August 1st because we were trying to figure out what to bring today.
Far be it from me to say different.
But Arthur has been on board, HR has been on board, the sheriff's on board.
Yeah, I think we have crossed the T's, but just to make sure.
Sheriff had some concerns when we started pushing the ACOs over to him. He goes, wait, hold on a second.
Yeah, and all we did was have that conversation.
I told him the best thing that he could do would be to get hold of Commissioner Morgan and get everybody in the room to figure out what he was going to need.
Yeah.
And this was this I'm assuming is what they came up with was a animal control office supervisor that he's actually in the sheriff's office and he kind of a supervisor over the ACOs.
There's been discussion about not having an actual sheriff's officer in this program. So that's a challenge for me, but I can see, you know, it feels like there could be an opportunity, and I appreciate the political challenges associated with using animal control levy funds for an ACO officer. But man, as a proponent of that levy, animal control needs help from time to time from a sheriff deputy.
They will still be under that chain of command, and the supervisor will still answer to the chain of command of the sheriff's office. The sheriff's deputies will be coming alongside in training. And some of the areas that have been lacking in training are specifically to the law enforcement type of things, warrant procedures, search and
seizure. By the ACO officers, and not our
correct, not our sheriff's office, the animal control officers. Yeah. So by having them go under the jurisdiction, it's the supervision of the sheriff. The sheriff is going to provide the supervision to bring them into alignment with this. But we really wanted to be intentional, so we brought in the players to see what really will it take. And we believe that the format of having a supervisor separate from the three and adding an animal control officer. There's three zones essentially right now. Sorry, I'm going to sneeze. There's three response areas right now with animal control in the system that they have. And the lead animal control officer was responding to one of those zones and supposed to be kind of overseeing the others. And part of the supervision was public health. It wasn't happening. And we, in looking at the real needs and having the process, was to recommend that we have three animal control officers, which the budget could allow. One of the things that Arthur stated is they believe they will be receiving more from the actual tax revenues than what was proposed in the levy. The income will be more, which will offset this cost, so it won't impact the other budgets. But having a supervisor that can be the backup to any of those officers and actually supervise the unit, and then you still have the three responding units. Because the supervision side was the piece not happening before.
Yeah.
And then the sheriff's staff is the one who will come alongside the supervisor and providing the site of training that they do, that they expertise in, and they'll oversee. But them having a full-time supervisor, not a sworn deputy or a certified deputy, because we want to keep the lines very delineated of this is animal control, not something else, believed this would be the best interest of the
challenge county. For me is that any challenging issue for an animal control officer, and they're going to want a sheriff's deputy with them. I know that from a couple of different situations we've had over the years. And yet there's not a recovery of costs associated with that. We didn't bill animal control even when we had the previous approved levy for those services. It just means, for me, there's a hand-in-glove element to the sheriff's office and an ACO, not all the time, but occasionally. And having that lead person, that lead supervisor, be a sworn sheriff's deputy solves that problem for me on a structural issue and an applicable to really challenging, like the Crow case out there. There were everybody on deck for removing those 300 animals, the sheriff included, all the way down through the chain.
The other thing to consider is today we're looking at a non-union supervisor position. If down the road the sheriff decides this position makes more sense as a deputy,
okay,
this person can then go to the academy and become a sworn officer.
Okay. Well, I like that idea. I mean, we can there move into that if need be.
The supervisor has room to get up if the sheriff and you and everybody involved says, we really got to have a sworn officer.
Yeah.
We'd see it more and more.
I think the program would benefit tremendously by having one, but I see the political. But, man, how can you lose ground politically by saying, we're going to throw we're going to have every element, every agency that needs to be represented in some of these challenging cases is going to be at the table and be involved in these critical issues because you're paying for it. I think that's what the intent of that levy really was, but I don't want to go outside the intent, that's for sure, but it's all for operations, it's all for staff, it's all for betterment of the animals and making sure there's right supervisory. Mm-hmm. I think we accomplish part of it, but maybe not all of it, but I'm okay with doing
all
that later.
Within the scope of the levy.
Oh, for sure.
Well, and he wanted the supervisor to be a working supervisor, but in the past, the supervision aspect of the position of the lead position was 5 or 10% of the job, and it just wasn't enough supervisory oversight to get the results we want.
You're going to make him a real supervisor instead of this.
I mean, they're still going to be doing the job, but 50% of the job will be supervising to make sure that, you know, the standards are at this level instead of a lower level. So I think it'll be more effective.
Great. Next item on the agenda is update job description for animal control officer, ACO, position in the sheriff's office, and then item number 3C3.
So,
update to job description for social services facilitator position in juvenile justice.
All right, so starting with the ACO position, in looking at the ACO supervisor, I also looked at, I need to update the ACO position because now the supervision has changed from public health to the sheriff. Also, in looking at what is an appropriate salary for a supervisor, I looked at what is an appropriate salary for the ACO. Their salary hasn't been looked at in quite a few years preceding my tenure with the county. And in doing that, they're significantly underpaid. I mean, they are a sworn officer. They're not a certified officer, but they're a sworn officer carrying firearms. You know, they have to go to court. It's a pretty high-level position, you know, and they weren't being compensated what I think is a commiserate amount. So I'd recommend a salary change with the ACO position, and then the other changes are primarily just to reflect that the supervision of this position now is under the sheriff's department instead of public health. They still coordinate with public health because it's just part of the responsibilities as it relates to dog bites and infection control, but their direct supervision is sheriff department.
Great.
I always wonder about the concern about the expectation is that animal control officer's got a truck with a star on the side, he's got the vest on, he's got the badge, they wear a badge?
Yes.
Packing a gun?
They don't pack a gun.
They have one in the vehicle if needed.
They have one in the vehicle, but they don't carry one on their hip, okay? No. But I just, you know, in the case of an emergency, you're a cop, what are you going to do now? And they're not a cop. Mm-hmm.
But they do have an enforcement realm, and that's part of where that had come from. Mm-hmm. They already have backed off some of the outfits. One, the last lead is the one that kind of put them all in black and different stuff, and they have asked to go to a different style of pants that's more rugged in the train they go through, and they're not looking to look like that.
It needs
that.
To look more like a park ranger style thing.
Okay.
So the sheriff's going to be changing the uniform and vehicles to delineate.
Okay, yeah. Good.
They want to look like ACOs, not like cops. Because frankly, if they look like cops, you're going to have that reaction. They're not trained as cops, and that would put them under really duress. That's not safe. And so the intention is to have them look like ACOs.
Already in the works.
Yeah.
Good.
Where is
finance? The last position update is another position within juvenile. So it is social services facilitator. It's a position that is, you know, supposed to coordinate the social service programs that work with the youth in shelter and detention.
What's the update?
So this is a position that was written for this. I believe we had it in years past, but he wrote it fresh so that there aren't track changes in the job description, but it is an existing position that has been years since it has been existing, so it needs to be approved because we haven't had it in many years.
Well, we're sure blessed to be able to have somebody in the juvenile detention who's got this connection for these kids, so much needed. This is the last one, or do you have others that you're going to, you know, as time develops and the program starts to come online around the later part of the year, you're going to...
I have to double check, but I think we've officially approved all of them as of this one.
Great. Well, there was sure a good group of people at the new employee orientation that I did. It could have been this week. Probably was last week. Just a good group of people. I think we're blessed to be able to to find them. It's been a challenge in years past that we'd advertise for good jobs, and there just wasn't anybody responding. So,
one thing I will say on that note, so I've been very pleased that the board authorized us to start using NeoGov, which is our applicant tracking software. I expected a 20 or 25% increase in applications using that. We've seen closer to 200% increase. I mean, we've had jobs that typically would have 20, 30, and we're having over 100.
Wow.
So,
getting out there is the key. You know, there was somebody in the private sector that was mentioning, I don't even remember where it was, about how are you guys finding all of these people? Where are you advertising? And I said, we did try some new things, we've been really successful with it. And the private sector, it was like a smaller mom and pop type of business, was having real trouble getting a good applicant pool. So
we've turned the corner. People want to work for Josephine County.
Yeah. It's been great. So we'll move those along. Thank you so much.
While I'm here, I wanted to just do one finalized thing. So we talked about it, but the board as a whole hasn't finalized the decision. So the board has tasked Commissioner Morgan with looking at the recruitment process for the Deputy Public Health Director. And in our initial interviews, we interviewed and we found a candidate that clearly differentiated himself from everyone else. So what we'd like to do is forego the final round of interviews because we feel that it is not a valued use of the totality of the board's time. So we'd like the board as a whole to authorize us to move ahead with to just hire the person who's shown that they're the best candidate.
One thing I'd like to bring up with that is this is someone the board has actually interviewed already. The individual applied for emergency manager position, and we as a board had an interview via phone and Skype with the individual. So you have previously interviewed, but just not in the line of this position.
Sure.
By and far, this person will be a good fit, but also has the skill set to actually help with this transition that we're looking at with the public health process, and had actually expressed in the interview a desire to be a part of that process and was hoping we hadn't gone so far down the process that he couldn't help. But nobody else was a viable candidate, and if he had not been, we would have said, let's start from square one and start the process over. But by far, not only met the expectations, but had the specific skill set to help us specifically where we're going.
Yeah, I think the board's role in having the second round of interviews is to refine the applicant pool down to the one that reflects the desires and the vision that the board has. And that's one of the things that's a benefit of having that second round interviews, the questions, the back and forth kind of discussion. It really sets the trajectory for where that program is going, so that you can't say in 6 months or a year down the road, well, we're at different positions here. If we were the interviewer, we had that back and forth disc. What did you feel like? There was an opportunity for the applicant to ask the board, who's probably going to be the report, what's your vision? Do you have any questions? You know, that kind of a thing. I think I feel better that we've already interviewed this person, and I felt really good about their application and their interview the first time. So I'm comfortable, but it's really important that we kind of have those discussions about what we're doing, that they don't change dramatically from what's been previously approved and before we all have a chance to weigh in. But that's great. I'm glad we have a good applicant. Let's get that chair filled. Perfect. Proceed.
Right. Thank you.
No objection, Commissioner Young?
Nope, not at all.
Great. Thank you for
your
good work, Commissioner Morgan. Mr. Schofield. Finance is nothing to report right now. I will say that we are hoping to have a final draft of an RFP very, very soon for the North Valley Industrial Park. I think Mr. Ford made the point about these projects. That's not the only one that languish for decades. It's unfortunate that I can use the word decade relative to the Illinois Valley Industrial Park. And there's probably a dozen different projects that will, for no lack of intent and willingness of the board, continue to languish without that kind of a position being filled, either by the private sector or in-house. So any other business that should properly come before the board at this time? Otherwise, we'll go into item number four. Resolution 2017-044 in the matter of appointment to the Board of Property Tax Appeals. We have, did you apply for that, Commissioner Morgan?
So I spoke with our county clerk about the position, and as liaison to the clerks, I would be interested in being the alternate. Essentially, they have three members, and then per the list, it was the BCC member may serve as an alternate if they wish, but they still need to be appointed by the board. And I would be interested in being appointed as an alternate by the board for that position and would like to sit through their hearings if they have them, just to kind of see their procedure. I know the members they have recommended have been in the position before. They're quite equipped in doing that. Hey, what are you looking at? That's different than what I have. Oh, so our board order has me listed as the governing body and then the three members. I was looking at the memo from Rhiannon, sorry.
I was ahead of her.
You were.
Unbelievable. Write it down. Get it on the microphone. Andy Young is the head of the pages on the computer.
Sounds good to me. I think that's an appropriate thing, and we probably all should rotate through BOPTA. I've done it. I was the alternate last year, and it really is not an effective use. It wasn't an effective use of my time. That doesn't mean that it isn't important. That doesn't mean that the board shouldn't have a nexus in it. It's just I can't spend a day or two in that, in that room hearing these things when there's qualified people who can do that. And so, great. I encourage that to move forward. I don't have an objection,
not,
so
not
we'll put it on the consent calendar for next week. Item number 4B, matters from commissioners. What matters to you, Commissioner DeYoung?
Well, like I said, I had an opportunity yesterday to go up to Salem and talk about a proposed idea, I guess, we had on how we can recover some money from the cannabis industry. And we kicked around a couple of things, you know, and ideas, and I sent those, took those up, and we had Rob Bovet, who is Representative Wilson was in the room. Representative David Brock-Smith popped in, and so we had a pretty good conversation.
He's a real good idea guy.
Yeah, he and I kind of talked about, kicked it around a little bit when we went to see Senator Merkley in Cape Junction on Saturday. And David Brock-Smith and I kind of kicked around some ideas afterwards in this parking lot conference.
Yeah.
But it started out with, these are all the reasons why none of that can happen. And then we changed it around. I said, well, I didn't drive all the way up here to find out why it couldn't happen. I want a pathway of how it can happen. And we're going to get back, I think County Council got a kind of a draft from Rob Bovet, and he's going to bounce it off of a few people up there to see if it's a viable. And I told him, I said, one thing that we're not trying to do here is when we went up there last year to try to get them to change the methodology for disbursement, it meant taking money out of Portland's coffers and their share and the school's share. And boy, I mean, it just died right there on the spot. As soon as you try to touch schools, that's it. And I said, this is our answer to that. We don't want you to do that. We want to be self-sufficient in Josephine County. That's where we're at here. We want to take care of ourselves, and we want to make sure that the state doesn't have some reason to be in the way of us doing that. We're not going to ask the state for anything along this line. It just has to be that we want to take care of ourselves, and we've got an idea with which we can do that, and two or three ideas. And so he's going to take them all and just kind of kick them around and, I guess, kind of, you know, see which way the wind's blowing up there. You say, well, you know, if we had a county and wanted to do this, would you be in the way of that? You know, that type of a deal. So I was very encouraged, you know, with nothing set in stone, you know, because we were just getting started on this thing. But I was very encouraged by his positive outlook on our proposal before I left. So that was encouraging. And Rob's going to be down here next week. And probably Wally and I have decided we'll have a little follow-up meeting with him then to see if he's had any traction in that
sounds
area.
Sounds great.
And I do want to include, you know, Senator Bear Trigger and Dwayne Stark and...
Actually, can you have Arthur come over?
One other one.
I'm wondering, should we see if Rob can come down early enough that we can pull a meeting together with all of us?
Sure.
I mean, should we all sit down and...
Well, right now, it's just the legal side of it, and if you all want to be in the room, I'm okay with that.
No, I think I'd like you to refine all of those legal questions.
Yeah, I think you know Wally and I, that was going to be Wally and I and Rob.
What I was going to
kind of take it aside because we'll discuss what we have.
Arthur come in and explain is what's the delta between what we're being provided at the state level and the need locally for enforcement. Does Julie need four more people? What's that going to cost? Does the sheriff need X number of dollars? What's that going to cost? And we are bringing in, you know, $30,000 is what the 3% has generated from January to June. I just got that number from Eve yesterday. I don't know what Arthur's hearing from the state, but that check is in the mail, apparently.
Yes,
he's been notified about probably what it is. Mm. I've heard 254, but I don't know.
Wow, I've never heard a number that high, so that's higher than I expected.
Yeah. It's what I thought he told me a week or so ago, but I'd like to hear it from him.
Well, Rob Bouette said, boy, you're going to get a whole different matrix coming down the aisle, and your boy, and I says, is it enough to fund my sheriff's department? I said, we just did a deal, and all that took care of was the jail to a level of 185 and opened up juvenile detention. Didn't do anything for patrol, didn't do anything for detectives, and all the stuff that we've been missing for Saeed's. Well, no, it's not even going to come close to doing that.
And do we need another legal staff that can help process all the violations? You know, one recommendation I had heard was putting all the complaints from community development, give them to the cannabis committee, and say, okay, what are your solutions to these, you know, and have them process through some of them as far as getting some feedback. But to process the violations, it's not just Julie's staff, it's legal to process. Mm-hmm. So
well, one of the things that came up on the
really good point.
The SOS's proposal on what they're looking for a consultant, and one of they had three or four of them that said, you know, what about traffic tickets and why would you traffic tickets? It's because we don't have a municipal court, and I think Commissioner Morgan and I have beat the drum on that. And I don't know why. I don't have any answer whatsoever of why we don't have a municipal court or a night court or something for traffic violations where we keep 80% instead of 70-80% to the state.
Totally.
And I don't get it. We have courtrooms all over. We can do it at the fire station out on Parkway. You know, dude, you name it. We can do that.
Yeah,
That's in their
spot.
That's,
is not
that's
exactly
their consultant deal. But this thing looks like I said. I was encouraged. There was a turnaround in the room. I think when I told them that we don't want the state's help, we're not here begging for the state to do anything for us, but we just want the states
to get out of the way.
To get out of the way, and then we'll take care of it ourselves. And I said, we're not talking state of Jefferson here or anything. Don't jump off that deep end. But we do have a proposal in mind that we think will handle our needs for us, not Jackson County, but us. And it may stem over into, if we get this process going, Douglas County is on the verge of going into what we're talking about, and maybe they'd want to get on board, maybe some of the other counties. So,
yeah,
hard to say.
We were talking about the expected revenue, and what I was hoping that Commissioner DeYoung might have soon is what is that delta between what we'd like to see as far as enforcement regulation and
fully funded sheriff's department? What does that cost?
Well, I'm not sure fully funded for every element. I'm talking about addressing the cannabis impact elements. So for me, that would be step one. Step two is a fully funded, but the minimum. And if we're getting, what was your notice of projected revenue from the state on the cannabis?
17% cannabis piece, our 10% of that. The state has given no indication what they're going to send. My estimate based on gross state revenues was anywhere between $300,000 to $400,000.
Okay.
And that's for the 18 months from January of 16 through June 30 of 17.
Okay.
I don't know that they're distributing from the 17 year yet.
Well, the other consideration is, aren't they paying themselves back before they
correct.
Start?
So yeah, so there's all kinds of variables
your
in
number
there.
Is really hard to determine, and it could go a whole host of different ways.
And they're not disclosing who they're collecting from, even for those 3% that the cities and counties that have contracted with Department of Revenue to collect their local 3% on their behalf. They're not telling them who's paying how much because that's tax information and very sensitive and could be disclosed and blah, blah, blah. So even the cities are saying, where did this money come from?
Yeah.
Did all our dispensaries participate? How much did they pay? The state's being very close to the chest on that information.
So
well,
I
brought it to Mr. Bouvet. I said, you know, you know, we talk about dispensaries. I said, sure, we've got dispensaries in Josephine County, but because we're the growing capital of the world, there really isn't any, you know, if I was here, I'd just reach across the fence and pick it.
Right, yeah.
Rather than go down to the dispensary and pay the taxes and the retail and everything else, that's what I would. But
and everybody who has a medical card already, why switch
over? They're growing for themselves, and I want to pay them for it. I said, you know, where the dispensary thing comes in, and we are going to get a certain amount of that, is the dispensaries in Portland are selling a heyday of this stuff. It doesn't grow up there. They're relying on us. And to that point, Rob, that's why you need Josephine County and Jackson County even more, because we're your supplier. We are your supplier.
Apparently a lot of it's going to start going indoors, and you're going to see
I'm sure it is. Greenhouse stuff will go crazy.
It's going to really make Josephine County's outdoor thing with the challenges with mites or, you know,
mold. You can control an environment.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's what I talk about, like the market kind of dictating where it goes. It's not going to be people who don't know exactly what they're doing who are going to be making it. So, all right. Well, I think it's not a benefit to the board to kind of speculate about the revenue. The real question is, what do we think we need locally to enforce, to bring some meaningful regulation around this industry? And it might mean a couple more code enforcement officers, another legal counsel, two or three deputies. But let's say that number is $1 million. That's really what the number you're looking to try to achieve, or is it the substitute for the timber industry's decline? So is it not $1 million? It's $10 million.
I want to see a graph of what could happen with this thing. I mean, what could happen if we did this, and what would it mean?
What would it look like?
Because
if we
another
had
thing,
so
Wally and I kicked around a little bit to just say, you know, just be careful about not just saying, well, this is exactly what we need, so this is what we're going to do. I would rather see us say, let's put this into a trust. You know, if we had a whole bunch of grows that year, and we got an X number and say, well, we're going to let all that down because that's all we need, put that into a trust and build that up, which we should have done with own seed money a long time ago. And then we probably wouldn't be, we would have not been here as long as, you know, we wouldn't be here as long as we have been. Well, I'm not looking, you know, I want to know how much that the actual bare bones is, but that's not what I'm looking to go for a, you know, a fee, it's whatever it is, it's a license fee or whatever it is, because, you know, they're on board. I used my proposal of $1 a square foot, and the growers that I talked to are all on board. They said that's very reasonable. So, and that would have generated huge amounts of money, I think.
Okay. Well,
you're the money guy, though.
Yeah. I'd like to know if you guys could put together some sort of numbers on the enforcement.
We'll talk
stuff. So,
okay.
Yeah. You have to share.
My ballpark's $1 million. Is what it's probably going to take. And we should find out what we're getting from the state real soon on that. So,
we should. They're supposedly distributing their funds in September. Closing in at the end of the month.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Anything else on the board?
Monday at the AOC district meeting, it was mentioned hosting the meeting October 10th.
Yeah.
And so I just want to make sure that what we need to do and notifications and all that process, mm-hmm. and just that we see that through. And I mentioned it to Commissioner Dyer yesterday.
Yeah.
And I know Commissioner Roberts is interested in so.
Very much so.
Your relief is?
So the one of the considerations is if it's a part of the Association of Oregon Counties, or ONC, it's an association meeting and it's not subject to the open public meeting law, just like we had our regional meeting on Monday. The point being that we don't deliberate towards a decision, and we're not making one in those meetings. We're gathering information, and it's part of an association.
I think we're just gathering interest to see if there's interest.
So the difference is that usually we find ourselves going to someplace else, but we're hosting District 4 next year here. That'll have the same rules as it does in Douglas County or anywhere else we go. So that's a consideration. I think that we would want it as part of an executive session style closed, because we're talking about potential litigation, and so either way, we'll thread that needle, but it won't be open to the public. I think that's the first one for my vision of what that meeting would be about.
I think that'd be wise.
And I don't think that we would not invite every commissioner in the state, because I think everybody's been negatively impacted. We talk about the size of the fires this year, 600,000 acres. 2 years ago, there was a fire in Harney County that was 1 million acres. And so what does that do to sage-grouse habitat and put them, all of the onus is on their farmers or their ranch lands that are well-managed and maintained to now create habitat, provide habitat for the sage-grouse. So I think everybody needs to be at the table on this one, or at least invited to attend.
Well, I think this would be a groundbreaking thing to probably establish precedent somewhere along the line. So like, for instance, like say Harney County, they could bring, they probably have an assessment of their damages just off the top of their head.
Yeah, I think it's damages is one thing, but really what is the outcome that we're looking to try to achieve from mostly the Forest Service, in my opinion, on their management strategy, that it isn't working for these communities. And that's what the firm that I've contacted was really interested in having that conversation, dialogue with the commissioners about. What we're looking for will dictate what kind of legal action they propose to take on our behalf if they're the law firm we choose to go with. What's it going to cost? How long is it going to take?
I did tell the senator the other day. He said, "Well, what's your thoughts?" And I said, "Well, I'd say timber management." I said, "Well, I'm not going to burn up my time telling you something you don't already know, because it gets shoved at you every time you set foot in Oregon, and so I'm not going to waste the time with that. You know what our concerns are,
Merkley.
Yeah,
not Bert Schigger. Okay,
no, Senator Merkley.
Good." I'll try to put together an agenda, and by the end of the week, something you guys can take a look at and say, because I'd like Josephine County to host this. This isn't my meeting. It's going to be, it might be, from a standpoint of the Public Lands Committee would be the jurisdiction, and I'm the co-chair of that, and that's where we could get the association to host it, if that makes sense.
Another topic when you're done.
Yep.
Rob Bovette wanted to know, he asked me yesterday, he says, what does Commissioner Morgan want me to talk about at the cannabis board?
And I said, he didn't email me and ask me that when I've been emailing him back and forth.
Yeah, and I said, I'm going to leave this up to Commissioner Morgan because it's her baby. But I said, just to let you know, Rob, that your input on this at the kickoff is going to be really, really important. And I said, your input as to what, I guess, what he's expecting or what the law is expecting or whatever. I said, you're the guy. I said, you speak very well, and that's what we want. So I said, I'll talk to Commissioner Morgan and see if she can give you a holler and some
ideas.
He doesn't know how long he's supposed to talk. He says, where's it going to be? And I said, well, it's going to be in Ambassador. And he says, that's that building right next door. I said, yep, he's aware of that. So but he wanted to know what he wanted, how long he's supposed to speak, and kind of how you want to, because he can sway that, he can give points to that meeting so he's not leading them off down some silver trail.
I'll make sure to get in touch with him.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to attend that one. I think that would be beneficial for all of us to hear it, but it will be televised. I think that's really key, is that we capture it so that people can reference it from time to time, and it'll be on our channel.
Jackson County has just created a committee as well, is beneficial. I had made a recommendation to the group that we not call it the Cannabis Advisory Committee, because it initial CAC is looking like a committee to action council or committee, kind of thing. And I told them that, I said I like board because it's CAB, but I'm looking at definitions, and I think a panel may be more appropriate, and then it CAP. In versus CAB or CAC, but
technically, in my mind, not to interrupt, it's a task force. It's got a specific issue. It's not. And so, if I were to call it something, it was like I was on the governor's O&C task force.
Yeah.
It didn't specify exactly what you're supposed to do, but your charge is cannabis. Our charge was O&C issues, land management on BLM lands.
But you could go any direction.
You really, it didn't confine you to the solution. It just said you need to address this issue.
And let me throw this one out there. The definition of panel is a small group of people brought together to discuss, investigate, or decide on a particular matter, especially in the context of business or government.
Totally.
I was trying to avoid the CAC because we already have a CAC.
Right, you don't need a conflict.
And so I might propose, the group it's at board, but I think it's not because they're not a decision body. But I'm thinking panel would be appropriate because it's particular to a topic. It doesn't put the limitations of a task force necessarily. It can, it cannot. We can have any committee as long as we need it or not.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I thought I'd throw out there what you think about panel with under that.
For me, a panel, when I see it around the state, and I don't disagree, the panel's fine, and I don't want to spend too much time on the name. I think it is important, but I've spoken on several panels up at the Oregon Business Leader Summit or something like that.
Yeah.
A panel has a very finite, you know, you come and convene, whereas a task force, it doesn't have a duration of time. They reconvene multiple times. But I haven't sat on a panel where I convene too many times. It's for a specific event usually, and then it's done. So I don't know. That's my non-Webster definition.
It is a synonym of committee. So it's, you know, as far as that kind of, it doesn't have to be a one-time panel kind of thing. But I just thought I'd throw out there, because, you know,
if
acronyms.
It makes a good acronym.
CAP is a good acronym.
A lot of... A lot of weight.
I just thought I'd throw out there something else. Because I
cannabis advisory task force.
I would have had it on the agenda today. I didn't have it edited in time, so it's going to come back at legal next week and come to us. So I wanted to get some feedback on that word before I submit it to legal. And again, I was trying to. I mean, if it was task force, it'd be CAT, you know, kind of thing. But CAC is already used in the Williams CAC, and so I just was trying to avoid confusing.
CapWorks.
Okay.
But let them weigh in on it and stuff.
Well, they already weighed in on board. It's not on the agenda this week, so we can edit it and bring it back to them saying this is what we proposed and adopted. So I just thought I would throw it out there. So
cool.
And I apologize for my outburst on Mark Seligman this morning, but it sure felt good.
Well,
we all have our moments.
I think for 99% of the time, we do a really good job with all of the comments that are made, good or bad, reacting and not reacting. And Mr. Seligman has to know that. The challenge for me is that his positions and the way he articulates it, it's all for a reaction. And my dad always suggested that, you know, people feed off of that. If you give them nothing, then eventually that it just goes away. But I don't know that that's always the case, because he's been pretty consistent for a while.
Yeah.
But I think I need to clearly, and this is for, you know, the next chair, we don't take that. So talking out of turn, there has to be ramifications for that, or there's no, why doesn't everybody, you know? So if he does it again, I'm going to stop the meeting, and we're going to have to ask him to leave, and if he chooses not to, then he's in trespass.
He did that on a bridge view, and it wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, they just stopped me. You know, they told Sheriff, whoa, stop right there. We need to take care of something. And ushered him out.
Yep. So. Those are the rules. Everybody else plays by them. He can, too. So it's when you're being disrespectful and then you're taking up time. They're paying us to do our work, and he's distracting us from that.
I thought everybody else in the room handled himself.
Was really, really good. So...
And I messed up. Somebody asked me a question. I responded. It was like, dang, sorry. I shouldn't have taken from your 3 minutes. We're all human. We're relational.
Sometimes if it's, I do the same thing. Sometimes it makes sense. Sometimes it isn't. Anything else? Seems like there's a lot of other stuff we should need to talk about.
So I do want to follow up with you guys on one thing. So one of the outcomes I have pulled together in it for the public health stuff, we're going to be having weekly conference calls with the Oregon Health Authority and kind of advising us and helping. We've also pulled together a steering committee. And we have, I have three members on there. Two of them are current Board of Health members. Two of them are former public health directors for Josephine County. One of them helped assist with the transition from options from private from public to private, so has already gone through this transition. I had talked to AllCare, who's been a partner with us in public health and providing staff, about inviting them to be a part of the membership, but I've reconsidered that any group that may potentially submit for an RFP should not be included in the steering committee. And I want to propose that I exclude anybody that would be a potential bidder of sorts, and so I just want to make sure that's okay.
Make sure you explain that to them so they don't feel like they're being singled out and left out.
No, but it would be anybody that would submit for an RFP would not be included, but I want to just make sure that I'm keeping you guys apprised of that process. So
yeah, I said no to a meeting request from a prospective recipient or bidder on the RFP if we ever put one out or whatever, and I think that's really that we're conscious of not having serial meetings for people and deliberating and gathering information is also a violation. So it's just trying to be above board, and you know, we've tasked you with this responsibility to facilitate developing a proposal. You don't have the authority to make decisions on this, but I am impressed with the collecting of the information, convening the right people, doing it in a timely fashion, not rushing it, but not letting other people distract you from what we're looking to try to accomplish. So far, I think you're doing a great job. It's incumbent upon us, though, is to not impact or impede what you're working on. So I appreciate the update.
Thank you. We'll get there.
Yeah.
That's it.
I don't really have anything else.
I'm good if we can adjourn. I canceled my next two meetings, and I'm going home eventually.
I'm going to go find a bottle of Airborne and start taking it.
I've had oils diffusing to keep, you know, check the germs.
With nothing further, the board's adjourned at 2:25.